bubbly.
I need to start this episode.
Oh.
By saying something.
What's that?
That Abby texted me today, and her exact words were, "I have a hard-on for G-Idol."
You know, if anybody else saw the music video, they would think the same thing.
But we'll get to that later. I just had to share your phrasing of that exact sentence.
Listen, Red Velvet can be your alt-group, and G-Idol can be my alt-group. My very controversial alt-group.
But they're not.
Controversial?
No, they're not your alt-female group.
So what?
Wait, who is? Everglow.
Oh, and Mamamoo.
And Mamamoo. All right. Yeah, you can't make decisions.
They're you know, the third.
The third.
Uh-huh. They're on the podium.
Well, guys, welcome back to K-Pop Parade. My name is Trinity.
And my name is Abby, and I have a hard-on for G-Idol.
This is the podcast where we talk about anything and everything K-pop, including news, comebacks, quote-unquote scandals, and anything else we can fit into an episode.
Woo!
What do we got going on this week, Abby?
We are going to start off with a secret question of the week, and I came up with the secret question of the week this week.
I hate that so much.
Year, whatever. You didn't have one, so I had to pull out of my reserves. I have lists, all right? Lists upon lists of shit.
So go. Yes, I'm ready. Okay. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so uncomfortable.
Are there any K-pop songs that you like one single portion of the song, but you hate the rest of the song?
Yeah.
What are they?
What was that Ace song that we talked about? Was it Savage?
Savage.
I liked the choruses and I liked the verses and despised the chorus. Like, I flat out despised that chorus, but I like the verse.
Like, you want to like it, and then you can't because you have to get
to it. I can't listen
to
the song. So that's my answer.
I have two. I have It's Wolf by EXO.
Aww.
Listen.
The nation's anthem.
Dumbest song. So dumb. But the bridge, when everybody gets to, like, individually scat. But I don't want to put in the time to get to that part of the song. My second one is one that you also don't like. It's Chain by NCT.
Oh, yeah. I love recently NCT, but
found that song. Somebody had used it as, like, ending for a video on YouTube. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Because it's just the bridge, and it's just Tail's portion. And I was like,
you do love you some Tail.
I do. And I clicked on it, and I started listening, and I was like, this is a completely different song. This is a mess. Completely different song.
I cannot stand the music.
We finally get to the bridge, and I'm like, this is still a great spot, but, like, it's not going to save this. I'm not going to add it to anything. So.
Can I just have Tails part on repeat, please?
Can I just, like, cut out that 15 seconds? That's all I want.
Yeah, but that song's just, like, a mess. People get so mad at me when I say I'm not a Chain fan, but I'm like, it's so loud, and it just sounds like chaos, and it's really annoying.
And then the bridge sounds completely different from the rest of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a rap song. With a singer only during the bridge.
Yep. Because even the chorus doesn't have vocal.
Exactly. This song's weird. But, so yeah. Are there any songs that you wish you could like? Songs you wish you could like, you should share it with us on Twitter. Or Facebook?
Facebook or Instagram. Because we have an Instagram now. So our Twitter, of course, is at K-Pop Parade, which is K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E. Our Facebook is the same thing. If you just search that K-Pop Parade, you should find it. And then our Instagram that is new is K-Pop Parade_podcast. So we just hitting all the social media platforms.
And I'm really glad that you're handling those because I'm bad at it.
You hate the social medias.
I do. It turns people into monsters. Anyway, so... We're gonna like change up our format a little bit because, you know, we like to be surprising and shit. So we're gonna talk about some news, and then we're gonna do some comebacks, and then we're gonna talk about some news, and then we'll play a game, and then we'll do some news, and, you know, life. What else?
We'll see how it goes.
Well, yeah, it'll be great. So the first thing that we have on our list is a piece of cool news from the Mnet saga of Korean TV. It's called The Hidden Track Show, and it's a show that just started or is starting a new season that highlights B-side tracks or hidden gems on albums. And so we wanted to compile some of our favorite B-sides for you, and we'd like to know some of our fans' favorite B-sides.
Yeah, what's a song that wasn't a title track or, you know, that you just love?
Mm-hmm.
That you're like, this should have been a title track.
Yep, and then I think the first person slated to go on this season or this show is Icon. And
ooh,
so
interesting.
They're going to be playing a lot of B tracks. And I don't personally know a lot of Icon. So it would be great for me to hear some Icon B tracks. My favorites, just off the top of my head, are I Love Mist by ATEEZ.
Mm.
Everybody knows I love Hush by Everglow. BTS is Best of Me. I really like The Girls Like Us by Twice. I like I Need Somebody by Day 6. We love Silent Night by Dreamcatcher. But then I discovered the best fucking song on the planet. It's Chica by Chungha. And we all know last year was the year of Chungha, and I didn't know about this song, but it is so fucking good.
It's so good.
Obviously, we're not going to review it because it's been out for a hot minute, but if you haven't, B-side it up.
And
go
look
on
up,
YouTube.
Look up a version that has the English lyrics translation.
Yeah.
Because that was what really hooked me. The song was good, but then reading the lyrics, I was like, ooh, okay, in my feels.
Yes, in the feels. What are some of your B-sides that you love?
My B-sides are Dazzling Light by ATEEZ.
Mm-hmm.
Candy by The Rose.
The Good.
Spring Snow by Pentagon.
What?
I know, shocking, a Pentagon song made it on here. You're going to be really surprised, but NCT did too. And theirs was Welcome to My Playground. And then mm-hmm. Mayday by GOT7.
Mm.
Kingdom Come by Red Velvet. And Roleplay by Astro.
Astro is so underloved.
They
I love
really
Astro.
They really are. They're so underrated. And like you just, oh, go freaking listen to Astro right now.
Stan Astro.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
I can't name anybody in Astro, but Stan Astro.
Oh, my MJ baby.
Wait, Moonbin's in Astro, right?
Moonbin is in Astro.
Oh, see, I got it. Got it.
We appreciate your effort.
Thank you. Thank you. So, sadness. Sad in life. Con has disbanded.
That breaks my heart.
Con was a duo girl group that I don't know the entire specifics, but I know they came from another group together.
Yes.
And then formed this new group, and then that new group has since disbanded, and it's sad, because they only had one song, which was their debut song, and it was I'm Your Girl. And it was
and
so,
it's so
fucking
good. Oh my mm-hmm. God, it's so good.
Recently, the member, you know, put on social media that they had disbanded, not necessarily an official announcement, and when people asked why, what happened, she said, it was our company's fault. And
shocking.
So I'm like, damn. Well, she's not pulling any punches there.
I was gonna say, tell us how you really feel.
For real. So fuck all companies and bring back Con.
It makes me wonder, though, a little bit, because the song was kind of like a lesbian anthem, if you watch the video.
I guess so.
And it really makes me wonder if that had a little bit to do with it, just because, you know, I don't know, just because people aren't as open to that yet. I mean, I can't say anything. In America, people protested the movie Onward because it had a lesbian monster couple in it. So.
Listen. When are we just going to let people love?
Can people just be people and everybody else shut up?
Yes.
Like, that's it. That's all I'm asking.
That's all
right.
I want. Oh, so 17. We all love 17.
We
right?
do.
And we all kind of know that Big Hit kind of just bought Pledis?
Pledis, yep.
Pledis? So they kind of or whatever the fuck that they did, that they now sort of own Pledis. And so Big Hit owns Weverse. It's that app that you can talk to BTS and watch V get drunk, and like, it's all great. And you know, Jin is super fucking sassy.
What?
17 is joining Weverse because they're owned by Big Hit or whatever. And so everybody has their own profiles and stuff, and they're talking to each other. And I've watched a couple of videos, and they're like, people, 17 is using Weverse as a fucking group chat. It's ridiculous. Because apparently they're just all talking to each other and, like, schedules and stuff. And then Dino is, like, only talking to himself. He's been replying on his own stuff. It's kind of funny.
Oh, that's but hilarious.
There's been some controversy about this because people are upset that we are having more access to idols. Which I totally get. I get. Because they're saying it can be abused. Which it probably is. It's probably being abused for BTS, too. And GFriend. Like, it's one of these things that the more access you have, the better it is, but it also the less security you have. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, and people are hashing it out.
Interesting. I can see both sides. I think enabling fans with exclusive content is great. I think that it helps us see a side of them that, you know, we don't get to see behind cameras and music videos and behind the scenes videos and things like that. This really gives us like an exclusive access. That's one thing I love about the app Lysn, LYSN. I got that because Wavy has it, and they can chat the same thing directly with fans. Like, they'll post, like Kun will post when he's got new music and be like, what do you think? And like, the members will just bother the hell out of 10 as often as they can. And so, like,
as they should.
They all, like, flirt with each other on this app whenever one of them posts a selfie. And so it's really cool because then they will respond to fans' comments. There was one day Kun posted something like, give me new song recommendations. And he, like, took a screenshot that he had saved all of them to a playlist.
Aw, that's sweet.
So stuff like that. He's also so sweet. He also wrote out a chicken recipe for a fan because she asked for a specific recipe that he had made, and he gave it to her. But it's one thing to have access to idols in that way. It's also very...
it's kind of dangerous.
It is. And that's where it comes back to we've talked about it before, where people kind of expect to own idols, and like, they have certain expectations of how idols should act and respond to fans and do all this kind of stuff. So it's like tiptoeing. Right. So it's tiptoeing a very dangerous line.
Right. So what are our suggestions? What could we do to keep 17 and BTS and GFriend? What could we do to keep them safe on Weverse? We could not be an asshole.
What?
We could not expect them to answer us.
What?
We could enjoy the stuff that they post, and if we don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Weird how that works.
These are like the three golden rules of the internet that no one listens to.
There are rules?
Oh no. I guess not.
I mean, welcome to the internet, right?
I also don't have a Weverse because, one, I haven't actually... for
content like that.
Oh, do you have to pay for it?
I think so. I don't know. You either have to... I don't know.
What I've gleaned is that it's like a social media. Like, you have to make an account, and it's not like VLive. It's not a streaming thing. It's like a Facebook.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The only last thing we have to say about Weverse specifically is that since it's owned by Big Hit, since it's their app, they are allowed to police it how they see fit. And we do know that Big Hit, among the entertainment agencies, is kind of on the better end of entertainment agencies.
I just read recently they're suing someone for something, so.
They are protecting their idols. They are giving them freedom of creativity. They are giving them breaks when they need it. So among the agencies, I think, yeah, Big Hit's great. And so hopefully they take the time to police this website that they've made, this media that they've made. So
fingers we'll crossed. See. Fingers
time will crossed. Tell. So far, I just really like watch V getting drunk. That's all I know.
That's all that Weaver should be. Like, just change the whole app to just be getting drunk.
He's a lush, and I like him. But let's do a comeback. Let's, all right. Well, you know, what's our first comeback?
Let's scroll.
Scroll in.
We have Purple Beck with Valenti.
Like a girlfriend concept. They gave all the girls a camera and just like let them loose in the city. It's very cute. This is pretty much it. It's cute. I didn't care much for their debut, which was Crystal Ball. It was meh. That's all I got.
Just meh?
It was just meh. It was just fine. It was It was a girl group.
I definitely thought it was super, super cute. Like, I stan. The thing with me is you give me any type of self-shot video, I'm immediately a sucker for it. Wavy with Let Me Love You, done. Doesn't matter if they're filming it themselves and having a great time. I'm done for. I love the video. But I really thought the song was super cute. I adored the concept. The girls' voices were really, really pretty, and it was really light. It was refreshing. We've discussed recently that girl groups aren't that different, and this one was. Mm-hmm. This one was different, and it was soft, and it was pretty, and it wasn't, like, trying too hard to be, like, the sexy girl crush stuff that, like, everybody's doing right now.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
It was good. I like seeing idols who are not in costume.
Yeah.
You know, I like normal, everyday fashion. I love comfort clothes. Those are the shit. And so, speaking of like self-shot, has anybody seen Dreamcatcher's Sahara? That's not on our list, but it's not so on good. Our list, but you should go look it. At it. What they did was, while they were promoting their new single Scream, they filmed a self-shot music video for their B-side Sahara, like backstage. Like, it's so, like, as they're getting so ready, they have like
so dramatic
curlers in their hair, and they're like headbanging and. Or like half makeup on, and their manager's like, hurry up! And she's like, ah! It's great. You should watch it.
Yeah, it was super cute.
Next on our list is technically an English song, but we stand Lay.
In it.
And we got Yixing. It's Yixing, Steve Aoki, and will.i.am with the song Love You More.
And with every rule you break, every risk you dare to take, there's one thing I can't ignore, it's that I love you more. It's that I love you more. It's that I love you more. There's one thing I can't ignore, it's that I love you more. Had to be my savior, enough to hate that you're so right.
And it's really good. It's a great kind of typical Steve Aoki song, but really, really good. And I think Yixing's English is really good in this. You can barely hear an accent. That just proves how much he's working on it. And the other thing is, this song sounds so similar to another song, but I cannot think of what it is. It's on the tip of my brain. It's so close. So close.
I need to go back and re-listen to it because I almost wonder. I don't know. I can't remember. I remember I had an inkling of an idea, and then it fluttered away. So
yes. Every time I listen to it, I'm like, oh, it's
something.
Yeah.
To me, it's super accurate that Yixing has a song called Honey, because that's exactly what his voice is.
Yes.
Steve Aoki's track is super cool. Yixing's voice is perfect for the song. He's so sexy. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I desperately want him back in EXO one day. I know, don't crush my hopes. A girl can dream. This was just overall a really cool track. It had the right amount of auto-tune for a techno feel while still letting voices shine. I thought will.i.am fit kind of pretty nicely. Sometimes you have that rap artist that has a feature, yeah. And you're like, what's happening? Like, yeah. no offense, but French Montana and Monsta X. Like, you were like, what's happening right now? But I thought Will.i.am fit very, very well. And I really hope that Yijing starts to kind of pull more of a Jackson and slides his way into the Western market with more stuff like this. He's constantly adorable in his interviews. The one that he did with BuzzFeed where he's like, they're like, what did you name your cat? And he was like, I'm so sorry. I just called it Cat.
I can't imagine. You know how some people shine in some areas and then not in others, right? Yes. How they say like geniuses can't find their way out of a paper bag because they're that dumb. I think that's what Lay is. I think he is so good at music and he loves them and it's his passion and he calls them his children, but he is dumb. He's a beautifully dumb child and I love him.
I love him so much, but he just...
Because he didn't realize it. Because I don't know how, what was the word? It was like bow or something.
Bow.
And he would call his, he would bow, 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 but in Chinese.
That means cat.
Bow means cat. And so he just wasn't computing, or maybe it's because he speaks like four languages, but he was just like, he didn't realize it until that interview.
That he was just calling the cat cat.
It's a hot mess.
We stan. He did Lovebird recently with Far East Movement, and it was wonderful. And I just think this is the kind of music that he should branch out to. I think he should, like I said, pull a Jackson, move more into, which I mean, even his children recently have been very English heavy.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. I think he should push it a little bit harder. And if they're not going to let him back in EXO, then at least let him do more of this kind of stuff. Because this music fits him perfectly.
Yeah. If EXO survives.
That's a conversation for another day.
You're right. Anyway, speaking of 17. Hey. Since you're talking about 17. Guys, I wasn't going to add this one. It's 17's Falling Flower. Japanese comebacks, right? Because that would be too much. We've already missed like a bunch of Japanese comebacks anyway, so I don't want to go back. But 17 is just one of those groups that I cannot not add their music. It's always good, and it's always a little different, and it's always a little surprising. That's why I love Woozy. What am I supposed to do? And since we spoke about screen time regarding NCT and EXO and whatever, I wanted to make the note that despite having more members, 17 can pull off adequate screen time for everyone.
You are absolutely right.
So nobody has an excuse. Just saying.
Just saying.
If fucking Pledis can do it,
everyone else should be able to.
Their choreography is always like evocative and unique and wonderful. And Hoshi is just so good.
God, he is so freaking talented.
Yes. They use their group as a whole to create a shape as opposed to having them all create the same shape. You know what I mean?
Right. That's hardly seen anymore.
Right. Or even, you know, some around the soloist or whatever. But 17 has always been good about using all of their members to elongate their choreography. It's just, it's always good. It's never been, I've never seen a bad choreography from them. It's always complex and exquisite. And then specifically in Fallen Flower, Hoshi's covered in paint and those arms!
Hoshi's my bias, and he dropped that magazine. Was it L?
I think it was Bizarre.
Bizarre, whichever one it was. And I had a conniption.
You really did. For like a solid 30 minutes, that's all I saw on Twitter.
Just had a full-blown conniption over it. Hoshi's so talented. It's absurd.
And you know what? He probably can't find his way out of a paper bag either. So
aesthetically, this whole video is just absolutely stunning. They are always absolutely fantastic at pushing the limits of visuals and dancing. I don't know who they have as their visual directors, but those people need to branch out to other groups too.
Don't just stay with 17.
This kind of gave me the feeling opposite of Fear visually. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It's like it had the same vibe, but was almost like the light version.
Mm-hmm.
And I too want to tape flowers to my face with a Band-Aid and make that like my permanent aesthetic.
That sounds scratchy.
17 just very rarely does things wrong, in my opinion. And by that, I mean, like, Hit was the only one I've liked less than their other stuff.
I agree with that. I liked Hit, but it wasn't as good as Fear.
Right.
You know?
So they tend to just completely nail everything in every aspect. Visuals, vocals, and 17 is never praised enough for the talent they have. It's so funny because we know 17 has a huge fan base, right?
We do. Carrots are awesome. And carrots are always nice.
They are always nice, but yet they always, like, 17 always seems to kind of be that group that's like on the wayside.
Yes.
And I'm not sure why. Because I do it too. I do it too. But this was perfect in every way. I watched it several times back to back to back because I was just in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, I definitely added it to my playlist immediately.
Anyway,
what's next?
So let's hit some more news again.
Okay.
So we've got here that apparently people are accusing Winner of plagiarizing a BTS song.
Yeah, stupid. They're not. It's dumb. People, you're dumb. This is stupid.
Because they're saying it's Dang and Hold, right?
Yeah, they're saying they ripped off the beat specifically from Dang. And I'm like, how? How can you rip off a drum beat? Guys, if we all had to use not the same drum beats, we would not have music.
Right. Like, so I don't know. One, they don't even sound that similar.
It's just the raps. Like, I watched a video about it, and it not only does it sound similar to Dang, it sounds similar to a Big Bang song, it sounds similar to an EXID song, it sounds similar to like a Hot song, you know, or Southeji and the Boys. Like, this is a common drum beat, and you guys are fucking things up. Like,
and like, I don't know if people realize, like, if other people realize that songs sound similar constantly. Actually, this happened with EXO and Louis Tomlinson, who used to be in One Direction. Shut up. Love Shot and Back to You have the exact same vocal flows in one part. It's been addressed because Louis's fans were pissed because Back to You came out before Love Shot. And like, even at one point, people were like demanding Louis be listed as a writer on Love Shot because he used like that originally. But then it came out that like artists and producers have access to libraries of free samples.
Yeah.
It's like that Anaconda song by Nicki Minaj used lines from Baby Got Back, and nobody got mad about that. And, like, Halsey recently sampled Justin Timberlake and Ariana Grande sampled NSYNC. And nobody cares when it's Western music.
Mm-hmm.
But artists have so much access to free samples that can be reused multiple times. And y'all need to get that through your heads and understand that songs are going to sound the same. And that's that.
The thing is, like, everybody is expecting everyone to be original. Listen, there is nothing new under
nothing.
The sun. Nothing. Nothing is ever going to be original ever again. And that's sad. But that's life at this point. Too many people are creative. Too many people have the juices. Too many people work well together and assemble ideas and assimilate ideas. Like just how RM, you know, he was accused of plagiarizing a dude he saw on Twitter. And he, you know, stepped up to it. He was like, you know what? This dude's right. I did. And I didn't mean to. It was subconscious. It happens. And so then he credited the guy. Done. Like, there is nothing new. And we need to calm down.
I will say plagiarism, since we're on the subject. Let's talk about the guy real quick who stole Hobie's album art cover.
Wow. He didn't even try.
No, literally, that like from the Hope World album, he called it Tissue World.
It's
And it's literally the exact same album. And at first, he was like, people were calling him out. He's like, I don't care about no Chinese guy.
Yeah.
Racism. Also, yeah. And then he followed it up in a video, like, where he's trying to get his fans. He's like, y'all see this guy stole my album art, blah, blah, blah. Even though Hope World came out, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
It's ridiculous.
Did he expect nobody to notice?
I just don't think he thought. He just didn't think. He didn't want to pay for it, I assume. He didn't want to pay for someone to do his own original album art. So he just
Crossed off the word Hope.
And put tissue of all things. That's stupid. Yeah.
Everything's plagiarized. Everything's fake. Just, that's the world.
Right. Yes. Yes. But let's talk about some good quality underdog comeback shit. Right?
Okay.
Like Kong Daniel. Kong Daniel.
We can talk about Daniel.
His triumphant return to K-pop with 2U. Or U2? 2U?
2U.
2U. Of a solo boy band member. His tone is super casual and easygoing, which I like. And I'm glad you can kind of tell he feels more comfortable.
Yeah.
After taking the time that he needed.
Shocking how that works.
Right. And it's very fun, and it kind of reminds me of Eric Nam. And I have, you know, it's really good. I have this buried desire to see a couple dance in each other's music videos without, like, being in the music video, right? Like when the Jonas Brothers had all their wives in it. Yeah, I want Jihyo to be in this music video dancing with him. Hyuna. I want Hyuna to be in Edan's next video without doing anything in it. Like,
that would be cute.
I want more collaboration within relationships. I want to see how people work together, you know?
My main question about this whole video is, why was he mopping a carpeted floor?
You're damn right. You're damn right. I don't know.
I was so confused.
I get it. It was supposed to be super cute. I bet they had written the whole thing out beforehand. And when they finally got on location, they were like, well, shit, it's carpeted.
Let's do it anyway.
No one will notice, except everybody noticed. Everybody noticed.
So I'll admit that I made a mistake when watching this video.
Oh, no.
Because I read your notes first.
Yeah, that happens.
You said Eric Nam vibe. Mm. And now all I really wanted was this song to be sung by Eric Nam.
Okay. You're like turning into me when I was expecting GOT7.
I loved the song, though. It was cute. It was very cute, very fun. It didn't do like a ton for me. And to be honest, I don't know that it even would have done a lot for me if it was Eric Nam. But I liked it. It wasn't bad. I'm glad to see him back. I'm glad to see him healthy. Mm-hmm. It was cute. It was fun. And that's that.
Yeah. Another cute, fine, decent song. One Us. A song written easily. 널 생각하며 쉽게 쓰여진 노래 Maybe it should have been a little harder to write. Whatever. I'm not really a huge... Hold on, she has to stop laughing. I know I'm funny. I know.
That was really good. I wasn't ready for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Okay, continue.
So this, it's fine. It's decent. It sounds a lot like Vav, which is also good. Vav's great too. I'm not a huge fan of this video, and the word that I use is messy. It's a messy music video. I say that because even though it's another one of those really vague music videos, it seemed rushed, specifically in the shots that they chose to use. They didn't highlight the choreo, which, why would you do that? Instead, they did like an excessive amount of individual shots and location shots. Like, that's great, but I don't need to see every pore on his fucking face. When they did show the dancing, it was from like a weird angle, so it didn't look right. It looked messy. The beach where they were was very beautiful, but I would have preferred to focus on the boys, you know? It's their music video. I would have liked to see them. I guess what I didn't like was the director?
Right.
Yeah, it was cool that they were experimenting with drone shots, but I wish they would have used them better. Like, all in all, I wish I would have saw One Us more, since the song was about One Us.
You would think.
You'd think, right? And I get it. They were on a beach and a mountain, and it was pretty, and there were flowers and shit, and they were using monochrome and taking out reds and taking out blues to highlight. I get it. I got it. But I want to see them. I want to see them dance. I want to see them sing. I don't want to see them stand there and look sexy and, like, put their lips or, like, fingers in their lips or whatever that they do to make them look sexy. Like, I want to see you perform. So the song, though, the song was fine. The song was good.
I really appreciate One Us's versatility. Like, I love the song. The music's bright. The chorus dance music is very traditional / modern mix, which is something One Us is really good at highlighting, which we saw with Lit. Don't quite understand, but also understand how you can say the video is messy because, like, have you watched any other K-pop video ever?
I know, but this one just seemed more so.
One thing that Evan always says about K-pop videos is, how can you even pick a bias because they change scenes every 2 seconds?
Yes!
And I can't remember what video it was, but he literally counted and every 2 seconds was a separate shot the entire video.
Yes!
And I was like, oh my God.
Do you remember Love Me Right by EXO?
Yes! Where we did that?
You couldn't even focus on anybody because it changed so often.
You don't even know what happened in the choreo because it was gone so fast.
Exactly. That's not what I'm watching it for. I want to see perform.
Right. Visuals were beautiful. There were way too many drone zoom shots on this.
See?
It would have been super cool to utilize it like twice. Mm-hmm. And then, but they did it. I don't even know. Like, it was a slow motion approach to a quick zoom or like a quick zoom out with the slow motion followed. And I just, there was so much of it in the video.
Yeah.
This visual director needed a little bit of
help. He needed some restraint is what he needed. And he
didn't have that.
Or like maybe the music video originally was like 10 minutes long. And then the editor was like, well, he gave me too much to work with.
So we're just going to zoom in on people's faces the whole time.
I guess. It took away from the song, honestly.
No, I agree. I agree completely. What else we got to talk about?
Next up, we have Aung Sang-woo.
From 101.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, him and Daniel were in 101 together.
Oh.
They were apparently like best friends.
That makes more sense. He released Gravity. Gravity. Yeah, I'm drowning.
Yeah, I'm drowning. I'm drowning in your love. Gravity. Yeah, I'm diving. Yeah, I'm diving. I'm diving into your love.
Really enjoyed this song. Not quite as much as I enjoyed his debut, but I am still really vibing with it. I really wish he would have hit that bridge build with a bit more, you know, oomph. It would have been like the perfect opportunity, you know, to do anything. But instead he just didn't do anything and it ended, but that's fine. You know, it was still good. Which it's kind of funny though, because the song or the title Gravity has been used so often suddenly, I could probably make a playlist with all of the different songs called Gravity. At least 5 in the past couple months have been called Gravity.
please K-On. Do it, and then we can post it to
Yezzy,
our Twitter.
XO, like, it's, yeah. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make a playlist called Gravity.
And then we'll just share it, and everybody can listen to everything called Gravity.
And they're like, what are you listening to? Gravity. What are you listening to now? Gravity. Gravity.
By who?
Everyone.
Water was water. My first impression. All love water visuals. His vocal tone is absolutely fucking stunning.
He really is.
And I want to live in the cabin in the woods. I am a huge fan of his voice, and I felt so much power in this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm drowning in your love. There's such a feeling of desperation. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to be in love, and he's chasing it so hard. And you can hear that in the music and in the video itself. You can see it. I felt the video really captured the emotion. The mm-hmm. repetition of chasing after the girl, and you just can't stop loving him. He's chasing after his normalcy. He's just chasing after this person he loves so much that he's drowning in their love. The fade out in the bridge didn't bother me. It actually kind of felt perfect for the song. But, man, there are not enough words to express how much I have listened to this song since it came out.
That's good.
And I'm going to touch on it again in a little bit. And we'll explain why later. But just go listen to this freaking song.
One of the reasons I like him as a soloist is because for me, as a vocalist, I like songs that are fun to sing. And every song that I've heard by him has been fun to sing. It's, you know, it involves a lot of air. It involves a lot of oomph. And so he's fun to sing along to. That's why I like him a lot.
He's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Next we have Mist with their song Don't Know.
Say it. I'm getting more confused as we go.
How else would you say it?
Meist. My periods. My periods.
This is the same thing as you calling MCND McKindy.
It is McKindy.
I'm going to stick with Mist because I'm 99.9% sure that's probably what it's supposed to be. The Makne, who has a huge tattoo on his chest.
Oh.
Like, his fact on his page is he is the youngest member.
Wow, good. All right. Well done. Proud.
But it is pronounced Mist.
Okay, fine. Okay, Mist. Mist.
How do you feel about Mist?
So, the competition in this generation is so incredibly intense that unless you drop something, like, really unique, like Donkeys, or really story-driven like Jackson, you're going to get lost in the Hallyu wave. Don't Know was nothing special. It didn't have the classic drop in it to grab my attention, and the aesthetics were another stupid, vague, dark, pretty boy, obscure music video. Now that you say it, if his tattoos are real, that answers my only question, because I wanted to know if their tattoos were real. But other
the
than that,
is
like,
yes.
Good, awesome, cool. But regardless, it was nothing special. I can't remember what it is. I watched it last week. Can't remember it. Sad.
Yeah, the dark pretty boy aesthetic, like you said, it only works for so long. This song feels like every single debut song for boy groups. And I mean, like, we've talked about it recently with girl groups, how every single song is starting to sound the same. Mm-hmm. Debut with something different.
Yes.
Like, even recently, I have gone back and watched Donkey's dance rehearsals, and they're performances with those canes are so cool.
Right, and it's a unique and a different genre.
I know it's working for other groups, right? Like ATEEZ is pulling off the Hala Halas, the Wonderlands, the Answers. But ATEEZ also does stuff like Wave and Aurora and Illusion, mm-hmm. where every single one of their songs sounds completely different than the previous one.
Right.
Even the similar ones sound completely different. Guy groups are really going to have to start debuting with something new. That was one reason I loved One Team they debuted with Vibe, which was a cute, poppy, bright, pastel, colorful video. And they waited until their third comeback to do the dark, sexy aesthetic. Do something different, because this is getting tired. I don't know when the wave of it is going to die out, but y'all got to start doing something different, because otherwise you're not going to stand out. And I know we hate comparisons on this podcast, but those black outfits look identical to things that ATEEZ have worn before, and Seventeen has worn before, and BTS has worn before.
Right, and VAV, and EXO, and like everybody has guy group has done the leather harness.
Right, we get it. Like, it's over. Move past the leather harness.
Yes, we're done. We're done with it. Let's move on.
And so, I mean, like, I didn't hate the song. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't it.
Yeah, I also probably couldn't tell you the difference between One Us's song and Miss's song. It just wasn't unique. It wasn't grabbing. You know what was fucking grabbing, though?
Oh, winner!
Winner! Hey!
And I showed this one today, and they were like, oh my God, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It is.
It is so cute. And this is what we're talking about when we talk about doing things different.
It's like, leave it to Winter to revive my hope in the world.
It's cute. The video was fun. The song was fun. The video solidifies nothing more to me than the fact that Winter would be the most annoying Big Brothers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
There was lock picking, and I was cracking up. There was silly choreo at the end with glitter.
With fingers! Finger choreography!
Essentially, they find out their little sister has a crush on someone and is giving her a hard time for it.
It's great. The little sister is one of their label mates. She's from Act On Musician.
Oh, I didn't realize that, but you're right. That is her.
Mm-hmm. So she knows what it is to have an annoying brother.
Right. It's what other groups lack. I feel like I was watching a goofy 90s sitcom. Like, every single second of this, I could not pull my eyes away from this video. When Yoon was in the fridge, I had to pause the video. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. I think I've also decided he's my bias, but the song itself is special. It's awesome. It was cute and upbeat and happy, and I feel like all of us need a lot of happy right now. And so if you're looking for some happy in your life, go watch Hold by Winter. I did get, like, hella stressed out about how much they all needed to vacuum the carpet after, like, they spilled popcorn everywhere. I don't know if that's just the mom in me, but I was like, clean up after yourselves.
It's the mom in you.
But this whole thing was great.
My thing is, like, it's a story, you know? A music video is supposed to highlight the song, yes. But songs are supposed to tell stories, right? So it was just getting back to, like, the heart of things. Annoying brothers, annoying happy song. It's family, it's fun, it's life. The song was written by Mino, and it's about finding out how to express the feelings that you've just developed for someone. It's a cutesy Valentine's Day, be my girlfriend, yes, no, or maybe kind of song. It's great. And I wish there was more of that. And I wish there was more Winter, because Winter always does good shit.
They do. Winter always does good shit.
Also, just a side note, everybody go and listen to South. South Club was created by one of the members who left Winter, and he needs some love. So go give Taeyeon some love too.
So let's jump back to some news real quick. We tend to yell at the universe to leave Monsta X alone.
We do, because they don't.
They don't. The universe is really out to get Monsta X. Lo and behold, fans are just the source of all evil.
They are!
So Wonho, of course, cleared of all charges.
Yes.
Good. Which we knew was coming. Mm-hmm. We knew it was coming. Everybody knew.
It was coming. Everybody knew.
Right. So all of Monsta X was spotted together. And I'm including Wonho in that because he'll forever be in Monsta X no matter what the future holds.
OT, whatever a Monsta X was.
Seven.
Yeah.
But fans got pissed. More specifically, K-fans got pissed.
Who was like, yeah, Wonho deserved to get kicked out of Monsta X? Who thought that? Why did you think that?
Essentially, fans were pissed because they had dinner together. All seven of them.
They are best friends.
They've been doing this how long together? Like, what do you expect? Especially once the dust has settled. And it got to the point that Minhyuk felt the need to issue an apology.
For having dinner with his friend.
And it's because fans are saying, oh, Wonho's still a criminal, blah, 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 despite the fact that he was cleared of all charges. And so, you know, they're saying that he has no right to hang out with them. Minhyuk full-on apologized and said he would think about his actions.
The only consolation I have out of all of this is I was watching someone else's conspiracy video, and they were like, if you read it in that particular context, yeah, it's really, you know, annoying for the rest of us and ridiculous that he had to apologize. But if you read it also in the context that he's apologizing to Monbebe about those insane fans, it also makes sense.
Interesting.
So, like, he's saying, I'm sorry, you know, you might be having a hard time because of me. And so, yeah, it could be you're having a hard time because I made the rash decision to hang out with my fucking best friend who I've known for like 10 years. Or it could be you're having a hard time because of these choices and because of those fucking people.
Interesting.
We don't know. We don't know which way he's taking it, but I hope it's in the context of defending his friend, because that was insane. I saw that and I was like, this is the dumbest piece of media I've ever seen in my life.
I just don't get it. I don't get the concept of thinking that you own an idol so drastically. We joke, right? Like, we all have biases. We say we're in love with them. We don't know them. We're not in love with them.
Right.
We have idols we say would be our best friends. We don't know them. We may hate them in real life. Regardless, it's like we always joke very heavily about we love these idols and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, we don't know anything about them. You have no right to their private lives. And I don't know how many times on this fucking show we have to say that.
Also, what does it matter if they hang out together? Do you expect him to see his brother, who he has worked with every day for 8 years? How long has Monsta X been around?
Forever.
And even before that, on the music show. Do you expect him to just drop him? For what? Why? What would he gain from that? Like you just said, it's expecting him to act like you want. But my question is, why did you want him to act like
exactly?
Why did you want him to alienate that man?
For doing nothing wrong.
Right. You know what else is really fucking weird about all of this nonsense?
What?
Is the whole apologize to Jisoo and respect Jenny shit.
Hashtags. Have we talked about how much I hate fans?
You know what? We need to say it more often. That's what I think. This is a weird thing. Okay, so recently a fan account called Blackpink Brazil has come under fire because screenshots of their group chats have been posted, and where they were sexualizing the members and being verbally abusive about them in the context of humor. They were making fun of their idols, and people are shredding them apart, like blasted these girls. Girls, I don't know if they're girls, whatever.
Understand that everything comes to light is the way I feel about it.
I'm also like, I didn't read the conversation, so I don't know what they were saying. But they issued an apology that said, hey, we're sorry. We're not entirely sure what we really did wrong here, because this was a personal private chat and we didn't mean it, is what they said. And it's like, I don't know where I would fall under this position. Like, we make fun of our idols too, right?
We do.
Like, I make fun of...
You call Chen Yeol an idiot all of the time.
No, I can't stand his knees.
You do. That's hate different. His knees.
No, I don't understand how he can fucking walk. But the point is, I don't think those thoughts maliciously, and I would never post those thoughts anywhere.
Except in a podcast that we're
listen, he has bowed knees. But like those thoughts and those comments wouldn't bring anything to the table, and they're also not really nice. and they could be misconstrued.
If you're not going to speak positively on a platform that is so influenced by negativity or has the ability to end up on a platform, obviously right. someone was bothered enough by it that they felt the need to post it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. We've lost our common sense, apparently. We've lost our decency and our common sense since we're all, you know, anonymous now. Maybe we need to take a step back and remember that those are fucking human beings. And even though you were kidding, you were joking, you crossed the line.
Still highly inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't know what they said, just that it was said to have been inappropriate. Respect, which was the hashtag, respect Jenny. We need to learn that again, apparently. Can we be decent human beings?
What? What's a decent human being?
Apparently nothing that we know.
So V told the entire world it's okay to gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
We stand V in this house.
Yeah, we do. Oh, if only Jimin would listen to him.
We love V. Bless V.
Bless V.
Thank you for being a human wonderful. Being that we right. love so that much. We love. So
let's also go back keep getting drunk on Weavers. It's fine.
And keep getting drunk on Weavers, please. Let's hit a couple more comebacks. We have a lot of comebacks. And
Yeah.
We still got to get, and we have some long-winded comebacks as well.
What are you saying? Are you saying I'm long-winded?
I'm sorry. I think every single one of mine is longer than yours this time around, except for right. one. Yep.
So next up, we have Gaho, A Song for You.
On our first episode of your top five K-pop songs ever, right? Yes,
ever. Top five ever. We stan a vocalist in this house.
We do.
Even if that vocalist's music video is kind of lame. His mouth makes up for it. Because holy hell, I don't know if even I can hit those notes. And I'm a fucking soprano. Damn. Wow, this kid is so good. So good.
His vocals are definitely insane. Absolutely insane. Nobody can question that. But there's not a lot more to say to this video or anything. His voice is enough, though, to kind of like make up for the lack of visual stimulation.
Yeah. The music video was lame. Sorry. It was. But it was so good.
He's so good. Just go listen to the song. That's all you need to know.
Yep. So next up is our long-awaited Suho with his album. And his title track with Let's Love.
God.
This was very classic, very suave. And Suho has always been a great performer, even when he was, you know, kind of overshadowed in EXO. Whenever I use him as a character, he's always very charismatic, very capable, and very subtle. I'm glad that he finally got a chance to shine. But I will admit, from just listening to his title track, I was a little underwhelmed. Now, there are different categories of vocalists, you know, like Kyungsoo from EXO or Haechan from NCT, Yuki from G-Idle and Lehi and Rosé from Blackpink. They are soloists. Their voices are unique and they can project and you can pick them out of a crowd and you know exactly who it is. Suho or from XO or like Young Jay from GOT7 or Umji from GFriend or Chaeyoung from Twice. They are what I'd call blenders.
You're gonna get so shit on for this.
What? What do you want from me? Their voices are good. They're great, obviously, but perhaps not quite to solo standard. They're essential in their groups because their voice can blend really well with each other. They can harmonize. They can create chords. They're the backbone. You can't have groups without people like them. I'm one of those people, so it's not like I'm trying to discredit. And none of this is to discount the fact that Sulo absolutely deserved all of the praise in the world for this album. And it's been a long time coming. And I'm so happy that he finally got to do it, because he's always overshadowed in EXO. I'm just not entirely sure that it's going to have the impact that maybe Baekhyun's solo CD did. Especially since he's starting off soft.
Yeah.
But, let's focus on the positive. Shall we? His song with Yuna was gorgeous.
Bless Yuna. She just bless her.
I don't know where she came from, but I am
But she can stay.
Her. Yes, she can stay with us.
So I watched Suho's interview. I can't call him Suho. I watched Jinmin's interview about this whole album. He originally stated, first of all, it was going to be called Plagiarism.
Oh, the song?
The album.
Oh.
And it's the same thing, going based off the self-portrait. It's his logic behind it was every day, you get up and do the same thing. So you are just the same, you wake up the same way. Usually, you check your phone, you blah, blah, blah. He had said at one point, he lived with Seon for 7 years. And It has been a year since he stopped living with Seon. And he still wakes up and finds himself doing the exact same routine, despite the fact that Seon is no longer there. So when you are with somebody for a long time, because the album's definitely about kind of a roller coaster relationship, You tend to get into these habits and you tend to mimic this person's habits. There are habits that Evan has that I definitely never did until I started, I got with Evan. I'm sure you and Brett have the exact same thing. And so he wanted to call the album Plagiarism because it's learning to mimic habits, and the album was going to be about him changing and his self-growth and things like that. But then he said he thought about it and he goes, can you imagine when the papers came out and it said Suho's album is Plagiarism? And I watched this interview, and I loved just kind of seeing this raw side of Jinmin. One thing that he stated was that he never understood about going to museums or talking about art. He didn't get it. He didn't get the point of sitting and staring at paintings until he saw Van Gogh's artwork in person. He said it felt as if he could see his feelings in the different types of brushes the strokes had in Van Gogh's self-portraits. And he uses one of Van Gogh's self-portraits as his phone background. And he based this entire album around Van Gogh. He was also very, very inspired by the musical that he was in.
Right.
And that is why the album has a big band sound. One thing that he said was when you're on stage, you have an orchestra right there. And that was the type of feeling he was going for.
Okay.
It was very similar to me to Onu from Shiny's solo album.
Yeah.
Because I think I texted you and I was like, it sounds like he's in a musical. I was like, Onu's solo album sounds like he's in a musical. But to me, Jinmin's was a little bit different. It was it just felt smooth. And to, of course, contradict you, because it wouldn't be our podcast if I didn't do that. His voice has always been one that stood out to me in EXO, and it's always been one of my favorites in EXO. He is my bias wrecker, and when they released Universe, his voice gave me chills, just absolute chills in that song. It's so gorgeous. Always loved his tone.
He's a good vocalist. He's just always kind of been buried under Baekhyun and Kyungsoo and Chen and...
It's so interesting to see how different groups handle leaders having parts. If you look at it, Namjoon's a leader, has a very heavy part. Hongjoong from ATEEZ is a leader, has very heavy part in songs. Taeyong's a leader, has very heavy parts in songs. Jinmin's a leader and does not get a lot of the front screen time, even after,
I agree,
you know, two main vocalists left and he still didn't get a ton. You have Kyungsoo leave and Jinmin and Kai still don't really get anything.
It's true.
But regardless, my biases for both Jinmin and Van Gogh set aside, he met every single one of my expectations. I loved the video. It was very artistic. Starry Night is by far my favorite song on the album. And I'm just so happy for him. This is a perfect rainy day. Sit on the porch, you know, with a cup of coffee or glass of wine. Listen to this while you're watching the rain kind of album.
It's very good. All of what I said should not discredit the fact that he did it. Some people only dream of it.
Right, it's just your opinion on his vocals in EXO, and that's fine. Everybody's allowed to have their different opinions. Yours can just be wrong.
You know, that's fine. I will be wrong in this instance. It's just, you know, everybody wants a solo career. Everybody, like, you know, it's the American dream, American Idol. And he did it. He did the deed. He got it. He's good, and it's wonderful, and I'm glad, because he deserves it. We've talked about this before. How long did he train before he got to debut? It was like
a long time. I think it was like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years.
Because then Becky had like walked in and like 6 months later. Yeah, 4 months. That's it. And it was like, boom, by the way, you're in a group.
He, what is it? 14 years later, he finally got an album of his own.
God, can you imagine?
No, that's insane. And I would have given up by now. Like, holy shit.
You and me both.
So he deserves it. He gets it. I will say nothing about it. He's got it. He did it.
Oh, he's so good. I love him. I actually had his, because his teaser photos were like self-portrait drawings that people did. Uh-huh. And I actually kept that as my background on my phone for a while.
So, news. We remember that Abby really liked 1-9, right?
Yes.
Abby, 1-9 was Abby's favorite rookie group from last year. And yes. They disbanded, or will disband next week.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Are we surprised?
No, we knew this was coming, but why does this keep happening to me?
That was me with JBJ. Do you remember when I went off about how much I loved JBJ and then found out that, like, the next month they were going to disband?
Well, the thing was, I'm surprised they haven't done anything else. I mean, 1-9 had 2 comebacks. Awesome. Debut comeback. Great. They were both solid. And then they haven't done anything else. And then they're disbanding in April. So, like,
maybe they're going to throw us a surprise goodbye song?
Maybe. I haven't seen it, but maybe.
Maybe. It's like a surprise.
They had that weird-ass 12-month contract.
Because they were all 19.
Now they're not. What, they're going to call 2-0?
No, I think that they're just going to disband.
They are going to just disband.
And I'm sorry.
Respective whatevers, and you know, and I'm sad. Why'd they do this? Why would you go through the trouble of creating a group and creating merchandise and creating marketing for 12 months only? I don't get it. I knew it going in, but I still don't get it. You know what else I don't get?
What You're don't you get?
Thank you. I don't get that how Namjoon doesn't know where he ends or where he begins.
That's fair.
He is the god of destruction. I can't even really rant about this because it's also really endearing that he's just so long and lanky and the kid breaks everything.
Okay, but can we also discuss that he's so rich that he has the ability to be long and lanky?
Good.
The dude has lost 33 pairs of AirPods.
That's insane.
That's over $6,000 because 33 pairs at $199. That's without taxes and everything. And assuming he didn't upgrade to the second version that are $249 a pair. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Namjoon?
He just ruined a $57,000 watch. That's more than I make in a year.
I don't understand.
And it's funny because people were like, well, he can just ask Jin to borrow his because they got matching watches.
Okay, that's cute as fuck.
Matching $57,000 watches.
Talk about a friendship bracelet.
Damn. fuck. Goals, okay. Apparently.
Right?
It's a hot mess. He's a hot mess. But he's like a really rich hot mess, so I don't... My sadness, my profound sadness came last week when I found out that Bull 4 broke up.
We hate disbandments in this house.
We do! And I'm even more sad because it was just the two girls. It was a duo. And one of the girls wrote a letter explaining what was going on, and she said, at first I was really upset that the other girl was doing this to me because she said she wanted to leave, but I've known her for a long time and I know her to be really sincere, so instead of being mad, I'm just gonna encourage her in whatever she does next. I'm like, god damn it, I want to be mad. How dare
you be respectful?
I know, I want to be mad because I really liked Bullfor and they were always like funny and cutesy, but like in a dorky kind of way.
Right.
Like they have a song called Cupid where the music video, she just goes around and shoots people with arrows.
That's adorable. Like
repeatedly. It's funny. I'm just sad.
I'm sad. It's sad.
I wish her the best though.
Yeah.
And I mean, whatever she decides to do.
You never want to wish ill on idols who are looking to better their lives.
Exactly.
It's not like when Zayn left One Direction and was like, I just want to be a regular, normal 22-year-old guy without all this fame and everything. And then went and signed a solo contract and immediately started producing solo music. Like,
no one was surprised at that.
Excuse me. Directioners were very surprised.
Is that what you were called?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Super last M. Bit of,
yeah.
On all that. Super M.
Does that not seem like a weird choice to anyone else?
Here's my logic behind it. Are you ready for my logic behind it?
Yeah, I guess. Am I?
It's nothing crazy or silly or fancy. We've talked about it before where it was this huge production, right? Oh my God, right. Super M. Blowing right. up in the West. Doing all of this stuff. Boom, yep. boom, 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 boom. However, what has Super M done since? My theory is they waited to film something that they were then going to put out later. And it's so crazy, right? Like, this is such a what the fuck that people are like, oh, yeah, Super M is still a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just a way to keep them, Super M's doing something different. When was the last, you know, when was the last time a K-pop group was ever on a teen TV show? Like, that's forever.
The thing that kind of confuses me. Of all the shows, right? They chose all that on Nickelodeon. We grew up with all of that, right? It's a stupid show.
I don't know what the new all that is all about, but I mean, I did find it hilarious because I don't know if you've heard it at the Houston show. Some girls were let onto their tour bus by the driver. So I found it hilarious that they were like, how did you get that? And she was like, when you were on your tour bus sleeping. And I just felt like that was a slight dig at the girls who went into NCT's tour bus because it was Taeyang who asked.
It was a dig to the girls for sure, but it's also like a huge controversy because people are saying it's promoting Sasaeng culture.
I don't know that it's promoting. I think that it's...
Because they don't get mad. The boys don't get mad.
Yeah, that's fair.
Instead of trying to get on to them about it, they sing for them instead.
I did find it funny that Tin was like, my mom will just buy you a new wallet.
Like, and apparently Taeyong has referenced his mom on every appearance he's been on in the West. Like when he was on Ellen, he was talking about his mom.
Yeah.
And on this one, he was talking about his mom. So apparently
my mom gave me that.
My mom gave me that.
We stand a mama's boy. I say that because my son's a mama's boy. We stand a mama's boy.
it just seems like a really weird choice. Not necessarily because it's Super M or because it's Sasaeng or whatever, but because it's all that.
Right.
And like all that was the stupid show when I was growing up. You know, like Amanda Bynes.
And Kenan Thompson, who just never changed his career path because he went from doing all that to doing SNL. Yeah, it's just
weird.
And like I said, I haven't seen the new All That. I don't know if the concept is the same or if it's just something a little bit different. Still definitely a way to keep Super M in someone's eyes. Puts K-pop on a major production channel.
I guess.
It's like when Monsta X was in that cartoon on Cartoon Network. Who's going to take Disney? Who's taking the Disney slot? So, all right, so let's go back to our comebacks.
We have a debut, and it's the debut of the group TOO.
We talked about them last week, about the whole thing with the Road to Kingdom.
Oh, We had to talk about that too.
Did you, oh my God, did you see Pentagon's teaser that they dropped for it where it was like Shine and then it was like Intense?
No.
They're taking this like Dr. Bebe theme and just rolling with it.
Good.
It was fucking cool. Okay, sorry. 2, Magnolia. That's literally the only note she has on here.
Was this Mist? Was this One Us? Was this Donkeys? Was this One Team?
No, hold on.
Was this Ashton? Donkeys. Was this Argon? Was like, guys.
I like guys. Argon too.
There are 50 more I can name and they're all the same. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
I liked it. I liked the intro. I liked the rap line. To be honest, it almost felt like an NCT vibe. It almost worked. Mm. I think if the chorus had hit harder, this song would have worked. It would have worked very well. But the song just coasted.
Yeah.
The chorus didn't hit enough for me. Burning Cars, Colored Smoke. We've seen it all before. And yeah. I know we've talked about it this episode. Our visual director's literally just trying to feed off of what they know has worked before. I understand that, like you said, there's no more original ideas. But something's got to give when it comes to these boy groups and these concepts. That's it. That's all we've got to say on two.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It got lost in the wave. Like I said, nobody will see it again until they come back on Road to Kingdom, which, let's talk about that shit. I'm still mad.
We did
I'm
talk about mad. It last week extensively. What else do you have to talk about?
So, just shortly, they released a new teaser that is extremely disrespectful to all of the groups involved.
Oh,
because I have not what it does this. Is it highlights music shows of everybody else's win and then makes it black and white and then puts their faces in the background where they were when someone else won. What it does is it makes them look pitiful and it highlights the fact that they haven't won anything yet. And so this is supposed to be Road to Kingdom for all these groups who weren't good enough to win anything.
Oh, that pisses me off.
Well, the good thing about it, though, there's nothing good about it. The good thing about it was the armies were pissed. Or like, carrots were pissed. And Mom Bebe's were pissed. Because they were like, our boys did not work this hard to be used as bad examples.
Ooh!
The universe is pissed!
Oh, yeah.
Because that is not... Because Kino
recently went on a V-Live crying because he feels like they're not doing right by their fans because they have not had a win yet.
And we all know, we talked about it last week, all of the shows are rigged. We know. But the fact that they are playing that up so hard. Oh, it made me so mad. And how do you think they feel?
Like, oh, thanks for putting us on the show. We're just a bunch of fucking losers. Like, that's how exactly. I would feel.
That's what it's saying.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's extremely disrespectful.
It's poor production choices.
I think the whole thing is a poor production choice, but I've ranted enough.
Whew. Anyway, let's move on. Because that just got me heated because I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm.
Woo! Woo!
Kwon Jin-ah.
This is where y'all get to hear me talk about Aung again.
I love. Is life. Kwon Jin-ah is life. Listen to her. She is a soloist who captured my brain back when I heard her first OST on the show You're All Surrounded. She is phenomenal. Her voice is breathtaking and she always delivers beautiful ballads. She's a fantastic musician. She plays the piano, she plays the guitar, and she can accompany herself, she can write. She won, essentially, Korea's American Idol, Korea's Idol, whatever. She won a contest. She's a contest winner. And the huge bonus of her music video is really interesting. It's creative. It's sad, and it makes me not want to go to sleep anymore, but also makes me not want to ever wake up again. She's great. I cannot say enough good things about her, like, musicality or her vocal talent. And so support her. Support the shit out of her, because she's still technically relatively new and relatively unknown. She only has 2 albums out, I think. So, like, go listen to her.
Go listen to her. Do it. So I, like, deep dived into this one, deep dove. I just went off on this. First of all, I clicked the video and had looked away for a second, and I just hear, like, gruff men screaming battle cries. I had read your review first about how soft it was and was very confused. Turns out it was just an ad for, like, an iPhone game. And so that was confusing at first. The video is super, super cute, with the aesthetics of watching a couple fall in love, flowers in the hallway, until you realize that it's only happening because she's dreaming. And she knows she's dreaming, and it's not real, and he's not there making her tea, and they aren't really falling in love, and I'm sad. Except in the end. And now I'm like, I need an entire Korean drama based off of this. It was either that or I was going to write a fan fiction about it, because I needed more of this story. The video was clever because it, like, it drew you in with this, with the whole storyline, and her voice is phenomenal. And then I made a connection.
Oh no.
So in Ung's video, we didn't hit it in the description that we talked about originally. He wakes up repeatedly. And that's part of the repetition, is he's waking up, he's chasing after this girl he's in love with. He wakes up, he's repeating the same thing day after day, where he wakes up and he's chasing this girl. And I have decided that these are opposite sides of parallel universes, but like chasing after lost loves in their dreams. And I've decided they're each other. And I need someone to make an entire show about it, or I'm going to write cheesy fan fiction. Don't make me write
cheesy fan fiction.
Don't make me write cheesy fan fiction, please. Just someone write it for me. But that's what
I'm writing for you.
That's what I've decided, is that they are the same side or opposite sides of a parallel universe, and they keep dreaming about each other, because there is that theory that when you dream, it's you're seeing yourself from a different parallel universe. And so they are dreaming about falling in love with each other, but then they can't reach each other. And I'm mad and I'm sad. And that's what I've decided. But her voice is phenomenal. We stand for life. Stan Kwon Jenna. Just know that you should watch the Ong's Gravity video and then Kwon Jenna's Something Wrong back to back. And tell me they're not the same story.
Oh, man. So next up. One thing that I didn't fucking know, because no one fucking told me.
How dare the universe.
How dare the universe and those Pentagon fans. I. OneWe came back. They are the counterpart to OneUs. They have the twins. One's in OneUs and one's in OneWe. And OneWe is a rock band. And they came back with Q. And no one fucking told me that Hwasa was in it. R&B, just like Hwasa thrives at, and their soloist, who I am sorry I don't know the name of, is nothing to sneer at either. There's 3 of them, main soloists, and they're really good in their own right. And then they progressively, during the course of the music video, get more and more injured. And I'm like, oh no, Floss is beating the shit out of these boys. And at one point, she just has, like, a tantrum, and she's throwing shit, and she's in this mini dress, and all of their, like, faces are scratched up, and I'm like, she's gonna kill him! She's gonna kill him!
We stand Hwasa the bad bitch.
Yes, we do. But I also don't understand her obsession with ruining jeans.
I mean, we don't question Hwasa. She's allowed to do whatever she wants.
Fashion is weird. Like, in Twitch, she, like, ruined these big old mom-dad jeans, and then in this queue, she had a pair of jeans, but it was cut like a skirt, but it wasn't. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't understand fashion.
But I fucking love this song.
I was going to say, we don't have the right to comment on fashion when you and I wear, like, leggings and oversized sweaters every day.
Listen, I haven't worn anything but scrubs in, like, 3 months. So...
This is the first thing I've heard by Wonwi, and I was absolutely not disappointed at all. Her voice meshed well with every single person who sang in this song.
Is that a testament to her, or is that a testament to them?
Both, I think. The video was interesting. The blood and scratches and everything were you know, a thing. Other than that, I mean, like, we stan Hwasa. The song was cool. I really liked it. So... This is one of those times I really need to just, like, learn to casually stan. Because I want to stan Wonwi, but I also don't want to dive in so deep that I can't get out.
Don't! Here it is. You listen to their music, but you don't learn their names.
That's so hard. How do you do that?
It's so easy! For people who haven't memorized all of NCT, it's easy.
But, like, don't you want to, like, see someone singing and be like, but wait, who's that? Oh, who's that drummer? Oh, who's playing the fucking keytar?
Like, no, I'm like, hey, it's keytar dude. That's fine. Casually stand. Acknowledge talent from afar.
I don't know how to do that. Anyway, let's talk about something we are both equally as excited about.
Yes. My hard-on that we were speaking of earlier has not dissipated at all. Is that what it does? I don't know.
We don't know how hard-ons work.
We don't.
I can see your toner through your jeans.
So, G-Idol with Oh My God.
Oh My God, that's what I said. Is the perfect title for this song.
Oh my God. Because I was just going to say, oh my God, but, like, it didn't, like, it worked. So I would just said, holy shit, instead. Watching this music video was like taking a deep dive into the Korean version of, like, the Da Vinci Code. Or descending into Dante's Inferno with Soyeon, like, holding her nails to your throat. Like, this is the kind...
Soyeon can hold her nails to my throat.
Mind-boggling shit that I want to see from girl group.
Yes!
This is gorgeous, and it's also damning. And it is sensual, but it's deadly. And I cannot stand this hard enough. I like how this is described as angels falling into demons. And they show it so beautifully in their transitions, because, like, at the very beginning, Minnie is dressed in all white, and she is being dragged, and she dances with these faceless, almost white dancers. You know, they have scribbles on them. They have just little bit of imperfections. But by the end of it, she has been soiled, and she's spoiled, and she's turned black, and she's bleeding. And it's a song about corruption on a cosmic scale. But the sinister thing about it is that they don't show hell, or, you know, whatever dark realm it is, as being fire and brimstone. It's shown as being gilded golden halls filled with wine and things that you desire and want. There's an elegance to its damnation.
See what I did there? Yeah, I appreciate that, like, completely. Like, no, it's intense. And it, like you said, it's something different and dark, and it, like, you don't anticipate it. Well, you kind of anticipate it to start out dark because, you know, she's being dragged across the floor, but yeah. You see it's all white. Everything mm-hmm. is stark white, and then all of a sudden there's blood. The contrast between the white to the deep, deep colors is mm-hmm. breathtaking. Throughout the entire video, you don't want to pull your eyes away. There are scenes where, you know, there are lights flashing. There's gold. There's blues. There's purples, all while flashing back to white. And you can just see this, like, struggle. You see someone drop a goblet of wine that then lights everything on fire. And it's just so visually interesting. It catches and holds your attention. The chorus is outstanding. Mm-hmm. The chorus is incredible. I absolutely loved it. You probably hated the ending. But for me,
I actually really liked the ending.
Because it's one of those that cuts off. And normally, well, Abby hates that.
Well, it doesn't. It actually, it sums up the song really nicely. They use the same kind of, like, fade-out refrain in Lion, and it works because it's really haunting, and they put those church bells behind it.
Right.
It's kind of like a nail in the coffin, or, you know, on Game of Thrones. What'd she say?
Shame.
Lie? No, I'm shame, there it is. No, you're right. It's like that with shame, every ring shame. Of the bell. You're like, well, we're gonna go to fucking hell, and then it's done.
I don't know. For me, it just left me wanting so much more. G-Idol's usually so hit or miss for me that that's rare for me. But I want a movie based off of this music video.
The song, in comparison to the music video, was a bit less. It sounded a lot like Lion, which is not a bad thing because it's one of my favorites. They've built a nice rapport of, like, using their awesome vocals, but it all hinges on Soyeon's rap. And that's not a bad thing. If they want to stick to that routine but give me visuals like this, I don't give a fuck. Yuki's voice is seriously one of the most mesmerizing in this entire generation. Like, I cannot stop listening to her. No matter what she does, I will listen to her. Because she has a really deep, low voice. She's an alto.
We Woo! Stan altos.
We stan altos. And we stan her chocolatey, velvety control. Mm. Like, yes. Mm. Yes, we do. Mm. Last one. Last comeback of the whatever the fuck.
That we're going to cover this episode.
Yes. It is Signature coming back with their first ever comeback with Asa.
Holographic, cool. I liked it. Very 90s club aesthetic, and so we all know I stan anything 90s related at all.
She does.
But the visuals were fun. The chorus was cool. It wasn't like my favorite. It wasn't like a flop, but other than the visuals, I've kind of already forgotten about it.
Yeah, so like it's funny that they should ask through the whole song, because I also have no idea what's going on. Was it better than whatever the fuck their first song was called? Yes. Do I have anything really else to say about it, though?
No.
Not really. Not really. Like, I'm probably not being fair to a lot of these newer groups, but as we have said and as we beat dead horses all the time, if you're going to be generic, you're going to get buried. So, again, blah, 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 doesn't have anything to do with the group's efforts. The members are wonderful. They worked hell for this. Blah, 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 blah. Give them the opportunity to shine. Blah, 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 blah. That's all we got. There was lots of pink. That's all I know.
Lots of holographic and neon and glow in the dark. And
yes.
What else? Is that it? What else we got?
Well, we got to do, we're going to play a game.
Oh, games.
Yay, games. We're going to do a save one, drop one again. Let's torture people.
The stress. And of course, as soon as we're done recording this episode, I'm going to throw these on the Twitter. So by the time y'all hear this episode, the voting will already be done. But you can go back to our Twitter and see what kind of torture we put people through.
Yep. All right. So, ready?
No, but yes.
Okay. All right. So, like, in the context of dancing, do you prefer SNSD's Hoyeon or do you prefer CLC's Sungyeon?
Hoyeon. 100%. We'll always go with SNSD. EXO's Chenyeol or GOT7's JB? You made the list. How did you not have your choices pre-made?
GOT7's JB. I was trying to be impartial.
Okay.
Do you prefer SNSD Taeyeon or solo Taeyeon?
SNSD Taeyeon. I will, like I said, forever and always SNSD. Vocalists, Icon's Jun or SHINee's Onu?
Dude, Onu. That kid's insane. As an idol, do you prefer Mamamoo's Moonbyul or G-Idol Soyeon?
Oh, this is so mean. But Moonbyul. Like, no, that's it. EXO's Coco Bop or Somi's Birthday?
Coco Bop, for sure. Per rapper, is it Monsta X Jihoonie or is it NCT's Mark Lee? Hurry!
Monsta X Jihoonie.
Okay. Proud of you.
Astro's Moonbin or SF9's Chenny?
I'm gonna have to go with Moonbin because he's pretty.
Just because he's pretty.
He is pretty. So collabs, do you prefer RM's collab with Lil Nas X or RM's collab with Whale?
So this one is going to be a little bit like not fair because I haven't heard the Whale and RM collab.
I haven't either.
So I'm going to go. So Old
Town Road.
Soul Town Road.
Soul Town Road.
Is what we're going to go with on this one. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer Goo Goo Dawn or Momoland?
Goo Goo Dawn for sure.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who likes Momoland. So, yeah. All right, save one, drop one. Right. That was a thing.
It's a thing. It's definitely a thing. It's a hard thing.
It's a hard thing. Very difficult. Thank you guys so much for listening to us ramble. We, again, can be found on multiple social media platforms now. Twitter, you can definitely search K-Pop Parade. That's K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E. Same for Facebook. And then Instagram is K-Pop Parade _podcast.
Podcast.
Be sure to connect with us on multiple platforms. Be sure to talk to us and tell us what it is that you want us to talk about. Be sure to send us your favorite B-sides. Maybe we can talk about them in another episode. And we just, you know, we love hearing from you guys. So thank you guys so much again. As always, let us know what you want us to talk about. Thank you for giving us your time and your energy. And we will talk to you guys later.
Yep. See ya.
Bye.